Chapter 2. On a bleak morning between the spring and summer of 1901, in Paris, as Van, black-hatted, one hand playing with the warm loose change in his topcoat pocket, and the other, fawn-gloved, upswinging a furled English umbrella, strode past a particularly unattractive sidewalk café among the many lining the Avenue Guillaume Pitt, a chubby bald man in a rumpled brown suit with a watch-chained waistcoat stood up and hailed him. Van considered for a moment those red round cheeks, that black goatee.
Nie usnas Josh. You don't recognize me? Greg. Grigory Achimovich, cried Van, tearing off his glove. I grew a regular Volbart last summer. You'd never have known me then. Beer? Wonder what you do to look so boyish, Van.
Diet of champagne, not beer, said Professor Veen, putting on his spectacles and signaling to a waiter with the crook of his umber. Hardly stops one adding weight, but keeps the scrotum crisp.
I'm also very fat, yes?
What about Grace? I can't imagine her getting fat.
Once twins, always twins. My wife is pretty portly, too.
Talk to Shenot. So you are married? Didn't know it. How long?
About 2 years.
To whom?
Maud Sween.
The daughter of the poet?
No, no. Her mother is a broom.
Might have replied Ada Veen, had Mr. Vinelander not been a quicker suitor. I think I met a broom somewhere. Dropped the subject. Probably a dreary union. Hefty, high-handed wife. He more of a bore than ever.
I last saw you 13 years ago, riding a black pony. No, a black Silentium.
Bojamoy. Yes, Bojamoy. You can well say that. Those lovely, lovely agonies in lovely artists. Oh, I was absolutno bezumno, madly, in love with your cousin.
You mean Miss Veen? I did not know it. How long?
Neither did she. I was terribly...
How long are you staying?
Terribly shy, because, of course, I realized I could not compete with her numerous boyfriends.
Numerous? Two? Three? Is it possible he never heard about the main one? All the rose hedges knew, all the maids knew in all three manners, the noble reticence of our bedmakers?
How long will you be staying in Lute?
No, Greg, I ordered it. You pay for the next bottle.
Tell me...
So, odd to recall. It was frenzy. It was fantasy. It was reality in the X degree. I'd have consented to be beheaded by a Tartar, I declare, if in exchange I could have kissed her instep. You were her cousin, almost a brother. You can't understand that obsession. Ah, those picnics... And Percy Dupre, who boasted to me about her, and drove me crazy with envy and pity, and Dr. Krolik, who, they said, also loved her, and Phil Rock, a composer of genius. Dead, dead, all dead.
I really know very little about music, but it was a great pleasure to make your chum howl. I have an appointment in a few minutes, alas.
Zatvyo Zadorovya, Grigory Akhimovich.
Arkadyevich, said Greg, who had let it pass once but now mechanically corrected Van.
Ah, yes, stupid slip of the slovenly tongue. How is Arkady Grigoryevich?
He died. He died just before your aunt.
I thought the papers paid a very handsome tribute to her talent.
And where is Adelaida Danilovna? Did she marry Christopher Vinelander or his brother?
In California or Arizona?
Andrey's the name, I gather. Perhaps I'm mistaken. In fact, I never knew my cousin very well. I visited artists only twice, after all, for a few weeks each time. Years ago.
Somebody told me she's a movie actress.
I've no idea. I've never seen her on the screen.
Oh, that would be terrible. I declare, to switch on the Dorotelli and suddenly see her, like a drowning man seeing his whole past, and the trees and the flowers and the wreathed dachshund, She must have been terribly affected by her mother's terrible death.
Likes the word terrible, I declare. A terrible suit of clothes, a terrible tumor. Why must I stand it? Revolting and yet fascinating in a weird way. My babbling shadow, my burlesque double.
Vaughn was about to leave when a smartly uniformed chauffeur came up to inform my lord that his lady was parked at the corner of Rue Saigon and was summoning him to appear.
Aha, said Vaughn. I see you are using your British title. Your father preferred to pass for a Chekhovian colonel.
Maud is Anglo-Scottish and, well, likes it that way. Thinks a title gets one better service abroad. By the way, somebody told me, yes, to Bach, that Lucette is at the Alphonse Four. I haven't asked about your father. Is he in good health?
Vaughn bowed.
And how is the gouvernantka Belletristka?
Her last novel is called L'Ami Luc. She just got the Le Bon Academy Prize for her copious rubbish. They parted laughing. A moment later, as happens so often in farces and foreign cities, Vaughn ran into another friend. With a surge of delight, he saw Cordula in a tight scarlet skirt bending with baby words of comfort over two unhappy poodlets attached to the waiting post of a sausage shop. Vaughn stroked her with his fingertips, and as she straightened up indignantly and turned around, indignation instantly replaced by gay recognition, he quoted the stale but appropriate lines he had known since the days his schoolmates annoyed him with them. The Veens speak only to Tobaks, but Tobaks speak only to dogs. The passage of years had but polished her prettiness, and though many fashions had come and gone since 1889, he happened upon her at a season when hairdos and skirt lines had reverted briefly. Another much more elegant lady was already ahead of her, to the style of a dozen years ago, abolishing the interruption of remembered approval and pleasure. She plunged into a torrent of polite questions, but he had a more important matter to settle at once, while the flame still flickered.
Let's not squander, he said, the tumescence of retrieved time on the gush of small talk. I'm bursting with energy, if that's what you want to know. Now look, it may sound silly and insolent, but I have an urgent request. Will you cooperate with me in cornuting your husband? It's a must.
Really, Vaughn, exclaimed angry Cordula, you go a bit far. I'm a happy wife. My Tobachok adores me. We'd have 10 children by now if I'd not been careful with him and others.
You'll be glad to learn that this other has been found utterly sterile.
Well, I'm anything but. I guess I'd cause a mule to foal by just looking on. Moreover, I'm lunching today with the Goals.
C'est bizarre. An exciting little girl like you who can be so tender with poodles and yet turns down a poor, paunchy, stiff old Veen.
The Veens are much too gay as dogs go.
Since you collect adages, persisted Vaughn, let me quote an Arabian one. Paradise is only one asba south of a pretty girl's sash. Eh bien?
You are impossible.
Where and when?
Where?
In that drab little hotel across the street.
When?
Right now. I've never seen you on a hobby horse yet, because that's what tout confort promises, and not much else.
I must be home not later than 11:30. It's almost 11 now.
It will take 5 minutes.
Please.
Astraddle, she resembled a child braving her first merry-go-round. She made a rectangular moo as she used that vulgar contraption. Sad, sullen streetwalkers do it with expressionless faces, lips tightly closed. She wrote it twice. Their brisk nub and its repetition lasted 15 minutes in all, not 5. Very pleased with himself, Vaughn walked with her for a stretch through the brown and green Bois de Belleau in the direction of her brown Osobniachok, small mansion.
That reminds me, he said. I no longer use our Alexis apartment. I've had some poor people live there these last 7 or 8 years, the family of a police officer who used to be a footman at Uncle Dan's place in the country. My policeman is dead now, and his widow and three boys have gone back to Lador. I want to relinquish that flat. Would you like to accept it as a belated wedding present from an admirer? Good. We shall do it again someday. Tomorrow I have to be in London, and on the third day my favorite liner, Admiral Tobakov, will take me to Manhattan. Au revoir. Tell him to look out for low lintels. Antlers can be very sensitive when new. Greg Ermanen tells me that Lucette is at the Alphonse Four.
That's right.
And where's the other?
I think we'll part here. It's 11:40.
You'd better toddle on.
Au revoir. You're a very bad boy, and I'm a very bad girl. But it was fun, even though you've been speaking to me not as you would to a lady friend, but as you probably do to little whores. Wait. Here's a top-secret address where you can always, fumbling in her handbag, reach me.
Finding a card with her husband's crest and scribbling a postal cryptograph, at Malbrook, Maine, where I spend every August. She looked around, rose on her toes like a ballerina, and kissed him on the mouth. Sweet Cordula.